Listen to a professor in a sociology class discussing the urban planner, Robert Moses.
Robert Moses may well be the most polarized person in the history of urban planning. He's been blamed for destroying urban communities, creating ghettos, killing public transportation systems, and for promoting suburban sprawl throughout the United States. His supporters, on the other hand, point out that he built some of New York's most important landmarks and made it easy for people to commute between the city and the suburbs. So who was Robert Moses, and what's his legacy? Moses has been called the master builder of New York City. Interestingly enough, he was never elected to public office, though there were times in his career when he was politically even more powerful than the city's mayors. He came into power in the early 1920s with the election of Governor Al Smith. Smith put Moses in charge of parks and other public works projects, and Moses turned around and built several prominent parks, attractive, on time, and under budget. Jones Beach is considered his finest work. Shortly after that, Moses applied his development talents to highway construction, and he built virtually all of Long Island's major parkways. Because of this, Robert Moses is often considered the father of the New York State parkway system. Moses became extremely powerful in the 1930s when he took over as chairman of the Triborough Bridge Authority. This bridge brought in millions of dollars a year in tolls, and Moses' control over this bridge gave him the ability to fund nearly any public works project he wanted. One of the first times he clashed with the public was in the 1930s. There was a major controversy over the building of the Battery Park Tunnel, the tunnel that currently links Brooklyn and Manhattan. Business owners, politicians, unions, everybody favored the tunnel, but Moses wanted to build a bridge. And he was probably right that it would have carried more traffic and been cheaper to build, but it also would have destroyed a lot of Wall Street's historical architecture. And since Moses controlled the Triborough Bridge money, he was able to hold up the tunnel project for years. As you've probably figured out, Moses eventually lost the battle over the Battery Park Tunnel, but not before the federal government was forced to step in and settle the dispute. If this were Moses' only controversial act, it would be a footnote. But what sealed his legacy was his commitment over the years to building a city that, to put it bluntly, favored cars over people. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. From the 1930s to the 1960s, Moses was responsible for building several of New York's major bridges and highways. These projects included the Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island expressways, the Belt Parkway, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. But he also ruined hundreds of neighborhoods in the process by building highways right through them, and he displaced thousands of people. So, this brings up the question, why did he do it? What was his reasoning? Well, Moses' basic philosophy about cities was that cities were made for driving, not living. To him, cities were supposed to be entertainment centers ringed by highways, and people were meant to go home to the suburbs at the end of the day. Unfortunately, his influence grew outside of New York as well. Several smaller cities hired him to design their freeway systems, many of which were never built, incidentally, due to public opposition. Eventually, Moses' desire to build an expressway right to the heart of New York's Greenwich Village led to one of his great failures. There was so much public opposition that the city rejected the plan in 1964, and the failure of the Greenwich Village project signaled the start of his political decline. Since Moses, many city planners have begun to favor more pedestrian-friendly, intimate communities and see the value in preserving historic architecture. Maybe the kindest thing we can do for Moses is to try to see him in a historical perspective. He helped put thousands of people to work during the Great Depression and built some of New York's most famous landmarks. And his projects never had technical failures, which speaks to his skills as a planner. One has to wonder what he might have done if he'd had some compassion to go along with his talent.
Now get ready to answer the questions.